Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So the prosecution has appealed and the defense is expected to the Darun Ravi 30-day sentence. Does that mean justice was done if neither side is happy in the trial of a college freshman who spied on his gay roommate with a webcam before the roommate, Tyler Clementi, committed suicide by jumping off the George Washington Bridge? Listeners, our phones are open for you. 212-433-WNYC. Do you feel justice was done with the 30-day sentence? 212-433-9692. You've had a few days to digest this now, and now we know that officially neither side in the case is happy with the sentence. 212-433-9692, or post your thoughts to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And with us is New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon, who covered the trial from the beginning in the courtroom. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Brian.
Let's start by playing a clip of one of Darun Ravi's biggest supporters, Peter Kotari, founder of the Indian American Business Association. Here he is after the trial.
We, in our heart, felt that Darun was never guilty. He never had any hate for anybody, and we are happy about it. Nobody likes the jail term, even a one day. But we have to accept some part of our guilt and go on with the life.
So how do we understand that two-part thought? Darun was never guilty, he said. He never had hate, and it was kind of a hate crimes trial. But we also have to accept some part of the guilt. So maybe he wasn't so unhappy with the 30-day sentence.
Yeah, it would have been nice to actually have heard that from the defense attorneys and from Darun Ravi himself right after the sentencing.
Because a little I think bit of remorse?
Yeah, and to accept, you know, he doesn't have to say, I hated Tyler Clemente. He needs to say, I invaded his privacy, and I'm sorry about that, and it affected him. And he hasn't said that yet. So I interviewed Peter Kotari. He's a really interesting guy, and he's dealt with a lot of hate crimes against South Asians in that community around New Brunswick, Edison. On the receiving end, and in which never was there ever any hate crime prosecutions. So there's been a lot of anger about this, but I thought that was a very measured response.
Another clip here from the judge in the case to the point you were just making.
But I heard this jury say guilty 288 times, 24 questions, 12 jurors. That's the multiplication. And I haven't heard you apologize once.
Wow, from the bench. And there's a lot in there. So let's take the first part first. If the judge heard the jury say guilty 288 times, why only a 30-day sentence?
Yeah, that was a little surprising. And I've talked to a bunch of different attorneys over the last couple days. And, you know, the fact is, it's that 30 days in jail is going to rock his world. And that is not going to be easy for him. That is not an easy place to be, the Middlesex County Jail. And 300 hours of community service, sensitivity training, $10,000 restitution fine that goes to an organization that deals with bias crime victims. So I think, you know, it was a little surprising in the moment that the judge was being so harsh in his language, but the sentence was light. But I think ultimately, you know, when you think about what he really did, that he didn't act in any violent way. He didn't threaten any violence. And, you know, I've looked all over the country to try to find a case where a hate crime was added to an invasion of privacy charge. And I can't find one. Hmm. And I'm not saying they don't exist, but I've yet to find one, and I've yet to hear anyone tell me about one. So I think, you know, I think the judge was trying to be as fair as possible.
Scott in Sussex County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Scott.
Hey there. I'm really happy to be on today. I mean, this Tyler Clemente trial, or Darun Ravi trial with the Tyler Clemente incident has just been on my heart. I'm the same age as Tyler Clemente. I'm gay. I live in Sussex County, New Jersey, one county north. And it's just, I think I would rather the conversation be about Tyler and about his pain and his struggle and what really caused, you know, the emotional heart-wrenching time for him when this all went down, rather than, you know, I'm pleased with the sentence because I sympathize with both sides. I would rather it be the way it is than Robbie getting maybe 10 or 20 years and then the conversation shifting to did he get too much time, rather than forgetting about, you know, I mean, I don't hold Robbie guilty for his death. I mean, what he did was entirely irresponsible and heartless, but it's hard for anybody to really understand what somebody who is gay and trying to come out as a youth in New Jersey or anywhere else, but speaking on personal behalf of living in New Jersey and being the same age, it was incredibly difficult for me. And if somebody had done that for me, coming out for me, it would have been quite an emotional challenge. And I think people just need to open up their minds a little bit to what caused Tyler to be in so much pain. Yes, Robbie may have initiated that, but this could have happened in many, many other ways, regardless of if this was, you know, it could have happened many other ways. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much. A very thoughtful, you know, comment by Scott. The gay rights organizations, are they reflecting more or less what Scott said? He's satisfied with the 30-day sentence. He sees some wisdom of Solomon there on the part of the judge. You know, because it's meaningful, it's going to rock Ravi's world, as you put it. But then again, it's not going to really ruin his life by being in jail for 10 years or something like that, which he could have gotten under the law. Are there official positions on this?
I think most of the gay organizations in New Jersey particularly, but also around the country, have said that they would have liked to have seen a little bit more time, but not 5 years, not 10 years. And I agree with the caller quite a bit in the sense that it would have been nice if the trial itself could have dealt with some of these issues around how fragile and at risk gay teenagers are and the connection between hate speech and bullying, in terms of that you don't need a threat of violence to really drastically and fatally affect somebody's life. These issues weren't allowed to be discussed during the trial, and I think, you know, justice was served by having the trial in many ways, not by sending Ravi away to prison for 10 years. And so this was treated like the murder of the century. And I mean, there were so many reporters there. So I think, you know, there was some justice served in terms of talking about this issue, but the issue never really came out in its full complexity.
Antonia in Emerson, New Jersey, not as happy as Scott. Hi, Antonia.
Hi, Brian, and thank you for taking my call. I think if we just discount the suicide of Mr. Clementi, as tragic as it might be, and look at the crimes and what the average sentences are for witness tampering, okay, for basically destroying evidence, for repeated perjury, I am sure that there is a range that goes from 0 to 10 years or some similar finding. Why don't we pick on the one-third of the sentences? In other words, the lowest one-third. That allows Mr. Ravi to have some naivete as a young man, still provides a real penalty. 30 days in a local jail is what you get for speeding excessively or DWI, not for what this man did, for lying, a lack of remorse. Additionally, and let me say this very clearly, it sends a message to the gay, lesbian, and transgendered community that we're not particularly valuable. That's my comment.
Antonia, thank you very much. Was he convicted of perjury, witness tampering, destruction of evidence?
Yeah, the perjury charge was a hindering prosecution because he lied to police investigators. He did tamper with a witness. The whole case unfurled in texts and tweets and instant messages. So they had a whole log of everything he said, including, you know, saying to Molly Way, his co-defendant, when she was being interviewed by the police, "You didn't tell them we did it on purpose, did you?" And the judge said, you lied, and the evidence showed that he lied. So I think all that's true, but it was a first offense, and you know what they look. The independent, you know, the probation office does a pre-sentencing report, and they looked at him and they looked at the crimes. They recommended probation. The prosecutor offered probation in a plea deal, and he didn't take it. So they were willing to give him probation for what he did. So I understand. I totally get where the caller is coming from, and that these were very serious things. But I feel like, you know, to me, I think the argument can be made that it was taken pretty seriously.
And I guess Antonia's call is an example of how both communities, if we see this as gay community and South Asian community, and obviously this is a case involving individuals, but there are some community interests here. Antonia said it shows that the gay community, LGBT community, is not taken very seriously by the justice system. You were talking before about offense taken in the South Asian community, that for all the hate crimes committed against that growing population in New Jersey, or all the acts of hate, that there just hasn't been prosecution under hate crimes laws.
Yeah, and this is pretty new that lesbian and gays are getting protection under these laws. I mean, we're only into this a few years, and an attorney that I spoke with yesterday made a really interesting point that it's very hard to predict and to try to protect what's coming next. I don't know that anyone could have predicted that we needed a law that talked about invasion of privacy and using a webcam in relation to targeting and having bias against someone of a minority group. So you
that
can't
would be quite
write
a specific law.
Yeah, you can't be that specific. So we need to be able to have these laws and interpret them broadly, but also, you know, we need to kind of weigh, you know, what is the appropriate sentence.
Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, as we take your thoughts and play some clips about the Darun Ravi 30-day sentence, which came down this week, 212-433-9692. Brenda on our comments page writes, 30 days is not a lot of time, but it will seriously impact his life. If we look at Ravi's behavior and not the horrific aftermath, what we see is how common this type of insensitivity is. His attempts to cover up his behavior, not unusual either. It's reprehensible, yes, but if we were to jail everyone who behaved this way, this would be a very lonely planet, writes Brenda on our website. And now back to the bench, where the judge talked directly to Darun Ravi and basically said, like it or not, now you feel Tyler Clementi's pain.
It depends which side of the camera you're on. But now you appreciate how Tyler Clementi and MB felt. Either way, down the road, you can expunge this judgment. But you cannot expunge the conduct or the pain you caused.
So you don't need a harsh sentence to learn the lessons of this case, the judge seems to be saying.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw the other day during the sentencing, we saw him cry for the first time. And so it's, you know, I'm not sure how to interpret it and how to feel about it. I found his one broadcast interview on 2020 chilling. I felt like he, you know, he was not taking responsibility and was basically saying that he didn't believe Tyler Clementi suicide had anything that had to do with him.
So here's a clip from that interview on ABC. Is this the kind of thing you're thinking of, Nancy?
Looking back, I was very self-absorbed with the whole thing. It was just about what I was thinking, what I was, how I was reacting to everything. It was never, what if Tyler finds out? How is he going to feel about it? I was 18. I was stupid. I wouldn't think about my actions beyond like a minute into the future.
You know, that I think was more honest because he's actually saying, you know, that he was being reckless. He wasn't thinking about it. But then he goes on later in the interview to say, I think Tyler had a lot of other things going on and the only way I can live with this is to believe in my heart that I didn't cause his suicide. He doesn't use those words exactly, but that's essentially what he's saying. So I think that was pretty chilling. On the other hand, seeing him cry in court the other day as his mother sobbed to the judge to please not send him to prison, you know, you had to wonder, was he crying because he had broken his mother's heart? Was he crying because he really did feel remorse and felt badly? Or was he just crying for himself because he's selfish and he didn't want to go to jail? Hmm. You couldn't tell.
Chris in Piscataway, you're on WNYC.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Let me first say that I don't believe the guy, Ravi, should spend one day in jail. And I would say also that people are going to say that he's responsible. How about the parents? How about Clemente's parents? How about his uncles? How about his auntie? I mean, Brian, if you have a son who is gay, okay, and then something like that happened to him, and he's open and out with you, and you're completely happy, you're not biased, you're not anything negative towards your son who is gay. If something like that happened to him, wouldn't he call you and say, Dad or Mom, this happened, and you would talk to him and counsel him? He didn't call no family member. He didn't call his mother. He didn't call his father. He didn't call anybody. He simply went and he jumped over the bridge. So it means that the biasness didn't only was from Ravi. It means that his family, Clemente's family, wasn't open to him being gay and wasn't supportive of him being gay, or he wasn't out with them either. So the shame didn't only come from the students at the school. The shame came from his family finding out what happened also. So if we're going to look at it like Ravi needs to be blamed, let's look at the family also, because the family is seeking justice. I mean, if they were open and happy with their son being gay, if their son came out to them, if his whole family was supportive, there is no reason he would kill himself.
Chris, I'm going to leave it there. But I have no idea, actually. I mean, it's, you know, could be really a leap to blame Tyler Clemente's parents. But I have no idea what that family situation was, Nancy. Did that come out? Were they not supportive of him? Was there a rupture in the family? So if he felt invaded by his roommate, he was just a freshman in college, he was just in, you know, college matter of weeks, really. Was he in a situation where he didn't feel he could go to his family and say, I'm really uncomfortable here, what can I do?
I think this is something that is in the experience gay teenagers have all over the country, and not that all of them are going to go commit suicide, but they are vulnerable. And, you know, so this has been, this part of the story has been told over and over in terms of the generalization about the kinds of vulnerabilities that gay teenagers, I mean, the shame that the caller is talking about, gay teenagers soak up that shame in our culture every day, everywhere. So I do think it's unfair to blame just the parents, although, you know, so there was some stuff that came out in the New Yorker article that was published before the trial, that he sent some emails to friends. He sent one email to a friend saying, my mom basically rejected me. His mom tells a very different story. But, you know, what teenagers hear and what they experience, they're going through a lot as adolescents, and they can hear criticism so much more sharply and deeply. I have a teenager, and I know. So, you know, I think they're vulnerable, and I don't think anyone should be let off the hook for the vulnerability that teenagers experience.
And it's funny that we end there, because later in the show we're actually going to be speaking with a psychologist who's an expert on people in their 20s, and she says that people around that age take negative things much more to heart than people who are older.
Yeah, if you ever go back and read your journals from high school, it's pretty embarrassing.
Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And listeners, you can keep this conversation going on our website. There's a really great conversation breaking out there already at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we actually are going to stay on the LGBT beat for our next segment, because not just gay marriage, but also gay adoption is an issue in the presidential race. Mitt Romney backsliding recently from an endorsement of legal gay adoption. And we will speak with the authors of a new book on the subject. Stay with us.